Good evening.
If you would, please turn your Bibles with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. I believe this chapter is very familiar to many. It is the chapter in which God tells the children of Israel what the Ten Commandments are that they need to observe. And you'll recall that the first few commandments dealt with how man ought to treat God himself, whereas the rest of the commandments dealt with how man ought to treat one another. But there are some specific that relate very well to each other I would like for us to focus on. And we'll begin in verse 3 of Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 3. The Bible says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." God began to address a problem that would later be very, very prevalent, that of idolatry. There were many that made unto themselves graven images. There were those that worshipped, bowed down to other things, other people than the one and only true God. Some of these you may remember very well, others perhaps not as well. There was a time in which, even while Moses was getting these commandments, some were worshiping a golden calf. There were some that would later worship the bronze serpent that was erected upon a pole, and later called him Nehushtan. There were some that began to worship Nibhaz, who was considered an evil demon of the Zabians. Perhaps you may have heard of Molech, who was a god of the Ammonites. Or what about Baal? Or Ashtoreth? Or Baal Peor? Perhaps the name Dagon might ring a familiar bell. Or Nebo? Or Nisroch? Or Rimmon, who was a Syrian god? Or Merodach? Or Nergal? Or Tammuz, which was an Assyrian god? Or even Tartak? These are just some of the many things that people made themselves, people that invented to put before God himself. And as you read throughout the Old Testament, you would find time and time again, the children of Israel turned from the living God to serve false gods, only to find themselves into a whole heap of trouble. And then they would recognize the fact that they were not doing what God commanded them to do. And so when they would cry out to God in true repentance, then God would allow them to come back unto him. And you know, as we go down even into the New Testament, things were still that very way. For example, when we look in the book of Acts in chapter 19, we find the time in which Paul came to the city of Ephesus. Remember that Paul was going on his missionary journeys, proclaiming the gospel of Christ. And when he had come to this place, he began to marvel that there were many that were worshiping many gods. In fact, there were some that worshiped what they did not know. And when Paul began to explain these things, here in Acts chapter 19 and in verse 24, we find that a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, "Men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands. So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. And in verse 28, when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. But then in verse 29, the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. And Paul wanted to go into the people, but the disciples would not allow him. Paul was creating a stir by making a very simple yet true statement. All these gods that you are worshiping, they are not true. Instead, you need to serve the living and true God. After all, there is a difference. If you remember back in the Old Testament, one of God's own prophets had a contest with those of Baal. And God's prophet was able to prove that there is a God, one that can see, one that can hear, one that can know, one that can respond to simple requests. Whereas the prophets of Baal spent at least half a day injuring themselves, crying out very loud, doing things to make their God hear them, only to no avail. Later, this difference was explained very, very clearly by John in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 9 and in verse 20, John says that the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. It makes very, very much sense that if an idol is constructed by hands, it doesn't have a brain, it doesn't have eyes to see with, it doesn't have ears to hear with, it doesn't have feet that it can get up and walk by itself. Idols can do nothing of themselves. They're simply images, regardless of what they're made out of. But you see, there is one true creator, one that sees all things, one that hears all things, one that knows all things. It is that one true God that we must all come to know, the true God the Apostle Paul began to write about, that he has seen and heard and wants to declare from his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And as Paul was writing to those in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 9, he says, they themselves declare concerning us what matter of venture we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. Jesus delivered Paul from the things that were going to befall him, unless he had changed from his former life. You can read about that in Acts chapter 9, how Saul was on the road that leads to Damascus, and there was a great light from heaven that blinded him, and the voice that said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he asked, who are you, Lord? And he began to know that this was Jesus of Nazareth whom he was persecuting. And it wasn't long before Ananias found him and told him what it was that he needed to do in order to be saved. He was trying to kill the very ones that believed in the true and living God and was willing to accept his only begotten Son. That was what was happening in the New Testament times. And do you think that things might be a little bit different even today? Well, when you think about what's going on here in our area, as well as all over the world, you might find a few differences, but you also might realize a lot of things are just the same. One common flaw is that people focus on the things that are seen rather than the things that are unseen. in the book of Romans in chapter 1, notice how Paul addressed this. Here in verse 25. In Romans chapter 1 and in verse 25, Paul says, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The things that are seen are the creatures. They tell us that there is a God that is unseen. Someone had to make them. But yet there are those that want to worship the things that they see, the creatures. And some of us were talking a little bit before services this evening. It's interesting about the requests that we get for Bible correspondence courses, and many of them come from all over the world. Perhaps even places that believe in such as this, that believe in worship, animals, or people, or inanimate objects, things that they only see and know. But instead, we ought to realize that there is one that has made all these things. How many world religions invent gods, even build and create temples that are devoted to images, to idols, perhaps even animals, or even statues of historical people, people that lived on the earth, lived for a while and then have died, not able to be able to come back to this earth, alive again, perhaps in a different form. But only through Christ can we all be made alive. Jesus is the one that died, was buried, and that he rose again. And yet, there are still many other gods today, perhaps in a different form. Just as people worship things, creatures, what are some things that people might worship even today? Well, do you know of anyone that tries to get more and more money? They begin to worship currency? Or what about those that only live for a job? Those that are all about getting to work on time, doing a good job, and tend to focus more on doing that than being present with the fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Or what about those that want to be with their families, those that be close to them rather than putting God first? But remember what Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 33. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Are our priorities in the right order? Shall we put God first above all else? Or instead, are there things that we want to worry about? Things that we devote more time and attention to, rather than doing the will of God? You see, in many respects, today is no different than what the children of Israel experienced in the Old Testament. There might be something, there might be someone that we consider an idol because it comes between us and God. And just as God clearly said not to put other gods before him, not to make for yourselves a graven image, and so today, idolatry is a sin. In the book of Colossians in chapter 3, there in verse 5, the Apostle Paul also gave us an example of this. He says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. He says covetousness is idolatry. Put it to death that is on the earth. If there is something that we covet, something that we see and desire greatly, we spend a lot of time. What are we going to do to get that? perhaps to the extent that we focus more on those things than we do with God. He says it is idolatry. It is something that we should not pay attention to. In fact, in Paul's letter to the book of Galatians, in chapter 5 and in verse 19, he begins talking about the works of the flesh, only to contrast with what is the fruit of the Spirit. And you will find that in verse 20, the very first one on the list in this verse, right in the middle of the overall list, that idolatry is a work of the flesh. You see, the works of the flesh are temporary. They're the things that cause us to do what God said we must not do. Things that are very tempting, things that appeal for a little while, but they do not last forever. This morning, a little bit in our Bible class, we looked at the words of John in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Where there John said, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in it. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And these things are passing away in the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. That's what it's about, doing God's will, not doing our own will. And if we do God's will, we are certain to do what he is pleased with. And if we do our own will, if it conflicts with the will of God, yes, we are the ones that are in error. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 3 that we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. He says idolatry is abomination unto God. When we serve other things, we do not serve God himself. You see, an idol simply is nothing in this world. John already said very clearly that idols cannot see, nor hear, nor walk. They cannot do anything. But the God that we serve, he can do everything. There is nothing that is too difficult for the Lord. In contrast, there is a true God in heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, there beginning in verse 4, this is how the Apostle Paul affirmed this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4, he says, therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol, until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. He tells us that there are many so-called gods and many idols, but he said they are nothing. They cannot do anything. But for us, there is one God. It is that one God that created all things. It is that one God by which all things consist. And we learn from the Gospel of John that Jesus was in the beginning with God and was God. And in him was life. And he gives life to all men. Idols cannot give us life. But eternal life can only be found in Christ Jesus. And later, in chapter 10 of the same book in 1 Corinthians, in verse 19, Paul would ask that question again. He says, what am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. When we're together upon the first day of the week, one important aspect of our worship is to partake of the Lord's Supper. But we cannot have fellowship with God and demons. We can only serve one, not the other. We need to choose God, the one that is real, the creator of all things, the one that gives us life, the one that we remember, and his son, Jesus Christ, when he died upon that cross, shed his sinless blood that our sins could be washed away. You see, being a part of the temple of God means that we are not in agreement with idols. That's what Paul would write in his second book of the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 16, Paul asked that question. He asked, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. For as God has said, I will dwell in them and will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Only God can be my father. I want a live dad. I don't want one that cannot see. I do not want one that cannot hear. I do not want one that cannot walk. But I want a true and living God to call my Father. I want Him to call me His Son. I have to come to the realization that there is one and only true God. And if myself is the temple of the living God, I want to do my best to make it pure and holy. A place for God to dwell. A place where God can live through me. And you see, if I do these things, then I can be guaranteed to have an inheritance from God. Being a son, I am a rightful heir. But if I am to serve idolatry, I cannot have that inheritance. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 5. Paul said very clearly that this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. If I am an idolater, I have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. So what am I going to do? What if I'm following things or people or others rather than following God? Well, from many examples that we find in scriptures that we're doing the wrong thing, the first step is to flee. Turn around. Run the other way. One that comes to my mind is Joseph. When he found himself in a situation that he knew was not the best, he got out of there as quickly as he could. If I'm living in idolatry, I need to flee. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 14, Paul said very clearly, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. If you're in it, get out. Don't stay there. Go somewhere else. And once we are separated from idolatry, we must remain that way. John says in 1 John chapter 5, there in verse 21, the very last words of his first little epistle, he says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. He says, keep yourselves from them. Do whatever it takes. Don't get suckered in into serving someone or something other than God. But if we are influenced by those that try to get us to serve other things than God Himself, well, you have to be very careful of whom you associate with, don't you? You know, the Bible has a lot to say about choosing our friends wisely and about the influence that we can have on others versus what others can have on us. Here's what Paul again told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Here, beginning in verse 11, he says this, "But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reveler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. It is God that judges. It is not you. It is not me. And when we know that God has righteous judgment, He knows whether, in fact, we've served Him wholeheartedly. He also knows if we assert ourselves more, or we served other things or other people more than He. Who do we truly fellowship with? Is our fellowship with God and with His Son? Do we share that fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? It is easy if we all put God first. He is and always should be first and foremost in our lives. No one else should take that place. You see, idolatry was a problem from the very beginning. And yes, it is a problem even today. What is it? Who is it that might be coming between you and God? Are you willing to get rid of what's in the middle and come wholeheartedly to the Lord and serve Him and Him alone? Do you need to respond to the invitation this evening? Have you become a Christian? If you're not yet a child of God, this is the perfect opportunity to become one. If you're not living the life you know you should, now is the time to come and make things right. If you need to respond to the invitation, won't you do so as together we stand and sing.